Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Pneumaticos. I'm your host, Dr. Josiah Rich, and this morning's episode is entitled, We Are Partakers of the Sufferings of Christ. And I'm going to be reading from 1 Peter, chapter 4, 1 Peter, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 12. So 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 19. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happens to you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of the sufferings of Christ, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you. For the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in matters. Yet, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if at first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. It is important to know that 1 Peter was written in order to encourage believing ones that were undergoing persecution. And 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, it reads, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you, charis unto you, and irene, peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which, according to his abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a lively or living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That should be out from among the dead. Verse 5 reads, who are kept by the power of God to faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. There are three tenses to our salvation. And Peter here in verse 5 speaks evidence of our being saved from the presence of sin. We are saved from the penalty of sin. We are saved from the power of sin, currently through the indwelling spirit, and we will be saved from the presence of sin. So there are three tenses to our salvation. So Peter is making reference to the last part in verse 5, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Let the trial of your faith be much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Verse 9, receiving the end or the telos of your faith, that is, the teleology of your faith, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Very interesting verse and very interesting opening to his letter. Again, if you want to have to get a grasp of the different persecutions that have been noted of believers, please read Fox's Book of Martyrs. Not the abridged version, but get the unabridged version of Fox's Book of Martyrs. And there's another book that would be well worth your reading, and that is a book entitled Jesus Freaks. Jesus Freaks is also about the persecution of believing ones and their persistence under trial, their faith under trial, the ability to remain under a hopomene, is the word that's used in the Greek New Testament, the ability to remain under suffering or trial, temptation, until the divinely designed end is achieved, and then to rally and charge forth unto victory. Hupomene. A hupo is the prefix, or the preposition, I should say, which means under. And we read that Jesus, in Luke's Gospel, Jesus was hupo. He was tested. He was placed under the devil during the temptation. He was placed under the authority of the devil, hupo. And nino means to remain, and therefore, thus to remain under a particular situation until God sees fit to remove it. The doctrine of the of suffering with Christ, prominent in the New Testament. And why this most important doctrine has been suppressed is curious indeed. It is persecution that galvanizes church. It is persecution that makes us intense witnesses. We become highly focused. And it is persecution that makes believing ones come together. And so Peter wants to encourage believing ones. And what is so remarkable about 1 Peter is that Peter used Jesus' own suffering as the cornerstone of his exhortation. And so I want to note his name in chapter 1, verse 1. It is, we'd say Peter. In the Greek, it is Petros, which means a stone. Before he was given his new name, he was Simon. But now in Christ, he is called Petros, a piece of rock. So the name bespeaks the essence of the individual in the New Testament. The new name motif is used in the Old Testament too. Abram became Abraham. Sarai became Sarah. And so the new name motif, the new name thing, bespeaks a new identity, a new way of being with and before God. So Peter writes unto fellow believers, and he states in chapter 4, verse 12, that don't think it's strange concerning the fiery trial. And the word here for fiery is pyrosos, and it means ignition or calamity as a test. So Peter wants to prepare believers with doctrine. He wants to prepare believers with teaching that will prepare them for persecution. And so the writer to the book of Hebrews also speaks to the persecution of believers. The writings of Paul speaks about the persecution of believers. First John talks about the persecution of believers. And he talks about doctrine, docetism, or docetic Christology, that was prominent during his time. Jude speaks about the persecution of believers, and he speaks about those who have come alongside, those who have embedded themselves within the community of the called out one. Now, God knows his own. God knows those who really belong to him. These individuals have embedded themselves within the community in order to exploit. Peter will say to make merchandise of Peter, and he uses the word plastoids. He says they will twist words in such a way that the words will make you think that they mean something different from their actions. And in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, we're enjoined to understand that people are what they do, not what they say. The actions are important. The activity, the undertaking or undertaking is what people do that we are to note. Paul will say, test everything. And beloved, first in 1 John we're told to try the spirits or to test spirits to see whether they are God. We're not to be naive. The first chapter of the book of Proverbs talks about the importance of the naive or the simple ones getting a heart of wisdom. Because, let's face it, opportunistic individuals take advantage of the artless or the naive. Those with simple naive trust are exploited. Reason why God left us this marvelous book, this Biblia, the reason why he left us this graphe, the writing of the scriptures is so that we would be students of his word. We're to be careful, deliberate students of his word. There is a devotional aspect to what we do, but we're to be careful students. We're to be methodical. We're to be thorough. We're to be detailed. We're to be worshipful. Now, I don't like to use the word application in saying that we're to apply the scriptures to our experience. Psalm 119 states, and the psalmist will say, thy word have I hid in my heart as a treasure. I have buried it in my heart. You know, it says, thy word I have applied to my heart. You know, it says that my word, that you, thy word have I applied to my experience. Prominent is not one subjective experience or experiences. What is prominent in the word of God is the word. What is prominent and what is meaningful to God is living out the word of God. Thy word is truth. Let God be truth and every man a liar. God is our primary focus. Because when I focus on God, that means I am concentrating on God as truth. I am concentrating upon the divine essence. I am concentrating upon the attributes of God. And I know that I need a necessity to walk by means of the Spirit, and I will therefore not fulfill the intense, passionate cravings of the flesh. Intense, passionate cravings. In the Pentateuch, in Exodus 20, we read about the what we call the Ten Commandments. One of the commandments states, thou shalt not covet, or that is, to pant after. But doesn't belong to one. And so we're enjoined to learn and to study the word of God. Peter says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try or test you, as though some strange thing or foreign thing happened unto you. So, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers or participants of the sufferings of Christ's sufferings. And so Peter is here speaking of suffering endured for Christ's sake and in conformity to his suffering. 2 Corinthians 14, Philippians 3:10. Then he begins in verse 13, after the semicolon, he begins his purpose clause with Hina, or that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Verse 14, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you. For the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. So in verse 14, if you be reproached, the word there means defamation. To defame an individual, to speak in a profoundly negative way about who he is or who she is. It means to cast in the teeth. So it is defamation of character because one is joined, conjoined, I should say, to the living Christ. And we therefore are partakers of his suffering. I want to turn back to Philippians. And in Philippians chapter 1, Paul writes in verse 27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversary, or your enemy, them, an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now hear to be in me. And in verse 30, the word conflict is agona, from which we get our word agony. So, Paul speaks of the sufferings of Christ. Peter speaks of the sufferings of Christ. And as we delve further into Paul's letter to the Ephesians, to the church at Philippi in chapter 3, we read these words. Verse 8, Philippians 3:8, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable or to assimilate his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. It would take a long time to go through these very intense verses and to do even to do an adequate job. It would take a very long time to go through the language as one should investigate the language. But I wanted to read particularly verse 10 to you so that you would have an idea of Paul's focus. And verse 10 that I read, that I may know him. See, Paul wanted an ever deepening knowledge of Christ. Not a knowledge gained from books, not a mere intellectual knowledge. Paul wanted an experiential assimilation of the person of Christ. Paul wanted more and more of Christ. Paul was done with the cosmos. He was done with the world. He will write later, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present age. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present age. One can never say that about Paul. Paul loved Jesus. Paul wanted an ever-deepening awareness of Jesus. Paul did not want controversies about words and languages, silly talk around his person. He wanted to be occupied with Christ. Jesus was his, and he belonged to Jesus. Jesus is the life of Paul. Paul said, I am crucified, Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. The word he uses, the pronoun I there, is ego, or ego, as some would say. We crucify the ego. Most believing ones cannot grow in faith because they do not crucify the ego. It must be set aside if one is to grow in Christ. Now I'm going to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, one of my favorite chapters. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I say that about all the scriptures. When I'm in a particular chapter, I'll say, this is my favorite book, my favorite chapter. When I'm in the Minor Prophets, I'll say, Amos is my favorite Minor Prophet. Then I'll read Obadiah or Joel. I'll say, oh, this is my favorite one. Or Hosea or Jonah. When I'm in the Major Prophets, Isaiah, it goes on and on. The Word of God is so wonderful, isn't it? We get become so engaged in studying the Word. It is wonderful to do so. So 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy, I love the plural, and the God of all comfort. Jesus is our comforter when we are under persecution. Verse 4. Who comforteth us? Upon, epi is the prefix, not in. Who comforteth us, comforts us in all or upon all our tribulation. And ellipsis, it's a word here for tribulation. It means to crush or to compress. It means grievous affliction. That we may be able to comfort them which are in trouble. Notice the reciprocity. As we are comforted by God, the comfort which we receive is not our own, but it belongs to other members of the body. That we may be able, that we may be strong, that we may be powerful. Verse 4, to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So the paraclesis, the that we receive, not ours, the paraclesios that we receive belongs to other members of the body. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. See the simultaneous equation. See the balance here. There's suffering, and then there is a consolation. God has wonderfully prepared. And notice, in verse 8, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, weighed down, above strength, above our own strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raised us. Dead. Do more teaching on the doctrine of suffering of Christ in my next show. I think it's vital that believers have a firm grasp of this particular doctrine. So until my next show, until next time, God bless you and have a wonderful day. I'm Dr. Josiah Rich.